We will continue much of the theme of Ash Wednesday on this coming Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent. And the first Sunday of Lent, I'll be preaching this Sunday on Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. And some of you may remember that story and may want to read it and reflect on it as we come to this Sunday, the first Sunday of Lent. On these Wednesdays, we'll be looking at a little book entitled Meeting Jesus at the Table. And the first message in this series is entitled Dining al Fresco, which I'll come to in a moment. All of the lessons we will look at in the study are about meeting Jesus at a table somewhere in the gospel stories. Our reading for this evening is Mark chapter 6. I'm reading only three verses, 38 to 40. You will recognize it as the feeding of the 5,000. Before our passage, a great crowd has followed Jesus and his disciples, and Jesus asked his disciples, he says, send them away that they might go to the surrounding country and villages and find something to eat. The disciples say that to Jesus, but Jesus had compassion on them, and he told his disciples to give them something to eat. And this is where our reading picks up at verse 38. And Jesus said to them, how many loaves have you? Go and see. When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he ordered them to get all the people to sit down in groups on the green grass. And so they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. And then if you read further in Mark's gospel, what you will discover is that it records Jesus took 5 loaves and 2 fish. He looked up into heaven. He blessed them. He broke them. And they fed some 5,000 people. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Lent is a time of reflection. And so I begin with this question for you to think upon. Perhaps just for this evening or for the 40 days of Lent. Have you ever been hungry? And I mean really hungry. I've occasionally had a growling in my stomach, but I've always known that at some point in the near future, I would finally get something to eat, and usually plenty of it. I have personally never known life-threatening hunger. And I readily acknowledge that I am among those in this world who are incredibly privileged. I feel so privileged. Perhaps you feel that way as well this evening. But I have known, like many of you, times in which I had a deep hunger. Hunger not just for food, but hunger for hope. Hunger for meaning in some experience, hunger for companionship. Maybe you have had that kind of hunger. It's not uncommon. Perhaps there was a time in your life in which you experienced a deep hunger, again for meaning and purpose, in some experience perhaps marked by grief or bewilderment. Perhaps you have hungered for a time to start over. A fresh start. Or perhaps this evening there is someone here who is hungering to be forgiven for something. Perhaps there is someone hanging on to a sense of guilt that needs to be let go. That can happen during the season of Lent. There are stories about people hungering that we can find all through the Holy Scriptures. And this evening on this Ash Wednesday, and for the next three Wednesdays of Lent, after our meals, we'll stay in the education building, and we will look at some of these significant events when Jesus met people at table and what took place. And we'll use that as a time of reflection on when Jesus ate with others. We remember as we do this that the Bible is full of stories about hunger and that the Scriptures often use food as symbols or metaphors, if you will, about the very presence of God that is with people at that moment. And the backdrop when this occurs in the scriptures is usually always when people are really hungry. Not just a little hungry, but really hungry. The Bible emerges, in fact, out of the lives of people who were often, to use an expression that's popular nowadays, food insecure. And we, of course, realize that most people in Jesus' day were one step away from hunger, one bad harvest, one season of warfare, one disaster or another, and there was famine. I was thinking all through preparing for this evening about the anniversary of the unjust invasion of Russia into Ukraine. I heard on the radio today on NPR some 8,000 Ukrainians killed, 11,000 wounded, but millions upon millions dislocated from their homes and forced to flee for safety. Food insecurity is real after a season of warfare. In light of this, we can see why food and eating in the scriptures, why it becomes occasion to remember God's providence and God's care, and to remember God's promises. The story, for example, we read from this evening, just a portion of it, of the feeding of the 5,000 in the wilderness. Perhaps you may not remember this, but it's recorded 6 times in the Gospels. 6 times. As a matter of fact, Matthew and Mark tell essentially the same story twice. They just change the number of people in attendance. And this first story of meeting Jesus at the table, it isn't a story at all about meeting Jesus at table. It's a story about meeting Jesus on a hillside. Meeting Jesus at dinner al fresco in the open, fresh air. I would remind you that behind this repeated story of the feeding of the multitudes we find in the Gospels is another story behind it. Another story of people in the wilderness, of people who were deeply hungry. Again, when you look in the Old Testament, drought, crop failures, famine, they were the very things that got Abraham and Sarah on the move. They were nomads. Generation after generation, they lived near a place called Egypt, and eventually they would find themselves enslaved to the Egyptians. It's a long story, but it's embedded in the Old Testament, and you know that story. And then Moses, of course, was sent by God to lead them to freedom, and once the people escaped Egypt, when God led them out with his mighty hand, they were free, but they were famished, they were hungry, and like children, they complained. Let us go back to Egypt, because even though we were slaves, at least we were fed. God knew their hunger just as God knew and heard their suffering. He knew of their hunger as well of spirit for hope and freedom. And God, you remember, short story, provided them food from heaven. He provided them daily manna. Food provided in time of insecurity, bread in the wilderness journey. And that story is told over and over and over by the people of Israel. It would also have been deeply embedded in the memory and the imagination of Jesus and all of Israel and all of its ancestors. It is the story which clearly stands out behind each of the gospel tellings of Jesus feeding the multitudes. That's the story. They came to hear Jesus. They were drawn by what he taught, by his invitation to them to a deeper hunger for a larger life with God. And nearing the end of the day, they were hungry, and Jesus knows they need food, not just for spirit, but for body. And he dealt with that directly in this miracle that we read about. I want to say to you, the authors of our study book, they ask us to think about how the COVID pandemic, they do this in each lesson, how it taught us about hunger. They asked us to consider that food during the times we experienced in isolation and in quarantine, it was not just about eating, and we know that. A meal isn't merely consuming calories to sustain life. Food is meant to be shared. Meals are things that bring people together and things that create relationships. Relationships with one another and relationships with God. I was reading in the Presbyterian Outlook not long ago when they were telling about how the research services of our denomination had asked people what they missed most about in-person worship during the pandemic when we did not meet. And the most frequent response was communion. Eating a little piece of bread and sipping from those little cups. Doing that in isolation at home, people said, was just not the same. You know, we may not consume much food at the Lord's table, but it's a real meal because we share it with the one who said, I am the bread of life, and we share it with one another. I close with this. Our authors of this study book, Meeting Jesus at the Table, Cynthia Campbell and Christine Foer, they ask us each week to consider in this beginning of Lent, what will be our discipline, our practice to draw ourselves closer to God and God's mercy and grace and forgiveness? What will be our practice? Sometimes people practice giving something up. I heard just before dinner, Claudia Alwood reminded me that giving something up doesn't have to be food. It can be division. It can be giving up polarization, anger, giving up hate. But giving up grudges long held. Just give it up. Give up that for Lent. People may give up certain foods. They may abstain from alcohol or meat or dairy or desserts. Well, maybe not desserts, but other things perhaps. Perhaps you might choose limiting your television viewing. Perhaps turning off your phone. Perhaps limiting your use of social media so that rather you can spend time in worship with others or in study of the scriptures and in prayer. You see, here's the point. The point in whatever you do is the same. The dailiness of whatever practice you choose is to remind you and me of what is important in life and who is it that provides it. May we embrace the ashes imposed on us this evening in this Lenten journey, for we know even in our mortality, life, eternal life, is offered by a God whose word is life abundant. Amen.